Good morning. I'm Jerry Yagar. Listen, I can tell you personally, when your kids start going to university, your money can start flowing out of that bank account in a pretty big hurry. And even if you feel that you're in a not very expensive university, it's, well, Dad, I need this and I need that. And the money flows. So how do you save, starting from when you have that child, for your child's education in the best way? Diane Chaban is with me, investment and wealth advisor at RBC Dominion Securities. Okay, this is a personal issue now for you, because I can tell people you're getting pretty close to having that baby.
Yeah, it's really starting to show.
Is it exciting?
It's very exciting and terrifying.
Yeah. Okay. but you're supposed to know what to do about this, and I'm sure you think about it even more so now.
Absolutely. Yeah, the finance part, I feel, is at least where I know what not to do, right?
Okay.
I figured that out. And one of the biggest things that you want to start saving towards, other than, you know, I heard someone say that you've got, you know, an 8-pound baby on the way with 800 pounds of stuff, right? That is now going to just come into your house that you have to pay for. It's certainly an expensive but very exciting chapter of life. But yeah, education, that's something that you want to potentially really help your child with. That's you know, a big goal for Mark and I. And so one of the first vehicles that you can start to use from a savings perspective is an RESP, and that stands for Registered Education Savings Plan. So I can't open up an RESP for the little guy until he has a SIN number.
Okay.
So, you know, that'll be one.
And
of
does
the...
he have to actually be born before
yeah,
he can get one?
He's got to be born first, so he's got to have entered the world.
Yeah.
And then we have to go and get him a social insurance number, and then with that SIN, you can go and open an RESP.
And the government is going to contribute money.
Yes, so they won't just start contributing money into the RSP. They will start matching your contributions.
Right, so up to a certain point.
Up to a certain amount, that's right. So you want to also know what the maximum amount is so that you can really, really utilize that government grant and maximize it to its potential. So you can make contributions in the first calendar year that your baby's born. So my baby was expected to be born in September, so I could make a contribution for him in 2019 and then again in January in 2020, right, and get, you know, two contributions within a very small period of time, which is going to be great. So they will match your contributions 20% up to a maximum of $500 per calendar year. So doing the math backwards, you want to be doing at least $2,500 a year to get the $500.
And get $9,000 before that kid goes to school.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. That's
unless they increase it over that time.
Well, then they it's not $9,000, even though the math does work. You're correct. But they'll stop at $7,200 worth of grant money.
Oh.
So that's where they'll stop.
But that's still nice to have.
That's still very nice to have. And it compounds again in a tax-deferred account until they go off to school. Any money that you're putting in there is still yours. So if your child doesn't go to school, you can get that back. But any interest or growth that's accumulated over the years would be attributed to you.
But if your kid doesn't go to further education after grade 12, do you have to give the government back the part they gave you?
No, it just has to be donated to an educational institution.
I see.
Yeah, when you're filling out the paperwork, you actually...
The one the kid should have gone to.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I sometimes have parents with different alma maters, like, sort of arguing over what school it's going to go to, and then I have to stop and remind them, like, look, this only happens if your kid doesn't go to school.
Yeah. What about this, though, Diane? Somebody's listening to us right now, and the kid's five, mm-hmm. and they've known all along they should have been doing this, and now they go, okay, I'm going to start doing it. Are they missing out, then, on that opportunity from the government, or can they catch it up?
They've missed out because you can always go back 1 year, so you can get the grant from the year prior, and then you can start doing, you can continue to do contributions moving forwards. And you've got, you can contribute up to $50,000 per child within the RESP.
Yeah. I found out, too, that when your child goes off to school and you want to withdraw that money, mm-hmm. that as long as you have the document from the school that your child is enrolled, you just get the money. They don't monitor what you do with it.
That's true. It can generally, you can have it go directly to your bank account, to the child's bank account, or directly to the school just to pay tuition. But yeah, as long as it's coming out, it has to be structured as an EAP, which is an education assistance payment. That's for any grant monies. They directly have to go to the school. And then all the money you put in that's been growing within the RESP, yeah, can be spent on anything. Ideally, it's school related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you set that up as soon as you can. And even if you can only put a little bit of money in there, I mean, by the time you get to, who knows what tuition is going to be by the time your little boy goes off to school.
Right, yeah.
So having that, it's going to make a huge difference.
It'll make a huge difference. It'll help him out. And even if it doesn't cover the full amount of his tuition and he has to get a job or perhaps a student line of credit to help along the way, you know, that's something I would be encouraging of, because it will also help him to establish some credit history and understand the value of a dollar and how it's going towards his education. Now, if he has siblings, then I'll make sure that they're all within the same family RESP.
Oh, how does that work?
You open your first RESP with your first child, and then you have another. You just add them as an additional beneficiary within the same plan, rather than having two separate RESPs. And the reason for that is because if my son decides not to go to school, mm-hmm. but then maybe he has a sister down the road and she does, she can use his grant monies.
Okay. Have we already decided the sister's smarter than the brother?
I mean, it's the case in my family, so maybe it'll continue to trend that way.
Yeah, maybe it'll trend that way. Well, then you wouldn't have to take that money and give it to an institution.
Exactly.
You can give it to the one your daughter goes to.
Yes, right? Yeah.
Yeah. This is the kind of thing that, though, I think when you first have a child, there's so many expenses that it would be easy to say, I'll get to that.
Yeah, it's true. You do want to get... I'm sure there's a million things I don't even know I need to do, and it's going to be very overwhelming. But the sooner you can get it in place, the better, because then you've got that grant money being matched right away. It's very seldom are we in a scenario where you have a 20% matching, right, up to a certain limit, but, you know, utilize that. And then you've got that compounding effect. And if they're not going to school until they're 17 or 18 years old, that's a really good time horizon to grow that money.
Okay, what kind of interest rate is that compounding? I bet it's not a big one.
Well, within the RESP, you can invest in whatever you want. So you could buy individual stocks or mutual funds or ETFs. So it'll be dependent on the investment and how that's growing.
Don't just let it sit there.
You could just keep it in cash, but absolutely don't do that, because you want to be investing that money. And based on the time horizon and your own risk tolerance and your objectives, then that will help you determine what investments to purchase within the RESP.
Sure. And when you mention risk tolerance, before we run out of time here, mm-hmm. there are safe ways of investing money where you're not going to lose your principal.
Yes, of course. Well, I mean, even cash is a riskless investment, right? When you look at it relative to inflation, right? You want to be at least keeping up with that. The best way to determine how you even define risk, everyone defines risk differently, is to go through a proper risk assessment and questionnaire with your advisor, where they're essentially going to ask you the same question like 12 different ways, right? And show you diagrams and scenarios. And then that will help determine exactly how you define risk and the tolerance that you would have with respect to what you purchase in the RESP.
Yeah, and you're going to be so proud when your child goes off to university, and if you're not stressed out financially, that would really help at that point. Diane Chaban is an investment and wealth advisor with RBC Dominion Securities. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.